Okay, join me back in Matthew 11, if you will, please. I want to read this whole thing again to you. Read it with me. As I go, you follow along. Listen carefully to what is being said in this passage. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This passage has two parts to it, and we're going to deal primarily with the second part. But we need to understand the first part just a little bit. Let me spend just a little bit of time on it. Jesus here is communing with his Father, and he says some startling things to us in this passage as he talks to his Father. He says, "Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the smart alecks and reveal them to the humble." I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then he goes on to make another startling statement. He says, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever the Son chooses to reveal him." Now that's divine sovereignty, pure and simple. That puts everything in his hands, doesn't it, as far as our salvation is concerned? Completely. And he goes on to say, he says, "All things have been turned over to me." Everything. So this world and everything in it, including you and me, are being run by the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth, the scripture says. All of it. And someday, everyone in this room is going to stand before him in judgment. You're going to stand before Christ. You're going to stand before the Lord. And you're going to give an account for the blessings that he's given you in life if you're a child of God. Even if you're not a child of God, you're going to be held accountable for what he's given you and blessed you with in this life, even though you may go to hell. You're going to give an account. You're going to stand before him. So he establishes his absolute authority, even over our salvation. And then he turns to human responsibility. He's given us the divine aspect, and now he's turning to human responsibility and issues this great invitation. And by the way, it's more than an invitation, it's a mandate. Because you either obey it or you pay the consequences. Right? "Come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll find rest for your weary souls." And that shouldn't be too hard, because he tells us here, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm humble. For a child of God, for a believer, to do this, to submit to him, to come under his authority, is a joy, not a task. Something you want to do. Something you delight in. So let's look at this invitation this morning. And just in case you are thinking, well, this invitation applies only to people who are unbelievers, let me ask you a question. Hold your hand up if you're not burdened and heavy laden with something this morning. I didn't think there was anybody here. So is this invitation for you? Yes, it is. It's not only for the lost person, but it's also for the Christian. It's for the believer as well. So let's sort of look at this. Christ is set before us in the Scripture in many ways and many metaphors in Scripture. He's in the Old Testament, for example, He's set before us as a brazen serpent, as a picture, a healer of the wounded. He's pictured as a city of refuge for the manslayer to find refuge. He's pictured as a sacrifice. All of those are pictures of Christ. You come to the New Testament, He's the water of life. He's the physician for the sick. He's the bread for the hungry, and on and on and on you can go. But here in this passage, He is the Savior of men. He's the reliever of men's burdens. He's the healer of all of our problems and all of the things that we struggle with. So let's take a look at this morning. Two things are expressed in this passage of Scripture: a cross and a yoke. Now, every one of us likes a cross. I would say that there are several women here this morning wearing jewelry that's got a cross on it. How many of you has got a yoke on? Don't have it, do you? Why not? A yoke is just as much a symbol of our service to the Lord Jesus Christ as is a cross. And a yoke that involves surrender and suffering is just a part of our life as it was the Lord Jesus Christ's life. But we don't emphasize the yoke, do we? That's tough for us. You see crosses on a steeple, but you don't see a yoke on a steeple. You see crosses on church doors, but you don't see a yoke on a church door. I don't know. This doesn't have any on it. Some of the other podiums will have a yoke or a cross on the front. In this presentation or this invitation, our Lord uses those two graphic symbols for Christian commitment. But we don't like the last one very well. Some people will wear these ornaments, but they don't wear the yoke, as I've already said. The yoke, however, is almost unknown in Christian circles today. I've never seen a yoke worn as an ornament. Have you? I'm emphasizing this on purpose. Jesus spoke of the cross when He says, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Here He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Go to school to me. Let me teach you." That's the emphasis He's making here. The cross is an instrument of death. The yoke is an implement of toil. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. The yoke is a symbol of service. The cross suggests blood. The yoke suggests sweat. Put them together and you have the ideal of what Christian commitment is all about. Christianity is not a pie-in-the-sky religion. It is not a Santa Claus concept. Christianity requires some pretty amazing things, namely death and toil. The Scriptures teach you must die to yourself and you must take up His yoke. A yoke is not only an instrument of sweat, but it's an instrument of service. To commit to Christ means that we are ready for both the yoke and the cross. We are ready to die on the cross, and we are ready to pull on the yoke and be yoked with other people in service. Have you ever seen two animals that were yoked together, pulling? That's the ideal He's saying. Take my yoke. Come into service. Come into learning. Come into school. Together with others. Laboring with others. So we're ready to die on the cross, or we're ready to pull on the yoke. We are ready to bleed for Him, or we're ready to sweat for Him. We are ready to sacrifice, and we are ready to do service. And we're ready to die for Him, and we are ready to work for Him. And there are three things now in this passage, or four things actually, that I want to talk to you about when we talk about the yoke and the crown. Number one, He gives an invitation. But the question is, who gives this invitation? If I said to you, "Come to me and I'll give you rest," you wouldn't think too much of it, would you? Why? Simply because I don't have the ability to give you rest, do I? I don't have anything to give you that you desire in your heart. I don't have any way to relieve you from that burden that's inside you. But guess who gives this invitation? It's Him whom we just talked about a minute ago. He's the one that the Father's given everything over to in this world. He's the one who has the ability to give you rest. He's the one who has the ability to look inside you and help you see what's inside you and give you rest from those burdens. Give you forgiveness for those sins that you find in there. He's the one that gives you that ability to do those things, to find that rest. So the person who's giving this is very important. He is the only person who can give you rest for your soul. The only one. There is no other. And then the second thing, I want you to look at the plea that is made here. Come to me. Remember, this invitation was expressed in the presence of the Jewish audience primarily, if not exclusively. And in this invitation, our Lord is simply saying to that group of people, come, turn away from me and turn not away from me and as an imposter as they thought he was. Don't turn away from me as someone whom you hate because I'm not doing what you wanted me to do. See, the Jews were looking for the reestablishment of Israel in its glory days, and Jesus came and said, no, I'm not doing that. They rejected him. And they're still looking for him. They're still looking for Jesus to come or the Messiah to come and who will reestablish the glory of Israel. And Jesus says, I'm establishing in the hearts of men the kingdom. They didn't like that. And Jesus says, come to me. On another occasion, when they had gone through all of their ceremonial activities for 8 long days, which was required by Jews, they'd offered all their sacrifices, they'd poured the water around the altars, and they'd finished their 8-day conference, as we would say. And Jesus looks at that crowd and sees all of those people leaving, and they're just as empty, going away as they were before they came. And he stands up and he cries. I can almost see him standing with his hands lifted in the air. Come to me. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly shall come living water. If you really want to be filled, if you really want relief, if you really want satisfaction, if you really want peace, come to me. And I'll cause the Holy Spirit to flood your soul with joy and peace and comfort and assurance. That's what he's saying here. Come. How do you come to Christ? We should remember that coming to Christ is just not walking down an aisle. Folks, if you haven't come to him in the pew, it's not going to help you to walk down here, even though that may be important. Coming to Christ is surrendering to him where you are. That may have happened to you last night. I don't know. But he also says, if you must confess me before men, or I'll deny you before men. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. So there is a public confession. Basically, that's what baptism is that public confession. Come, abandon the thoughts that you can make satisfaction for your own souls or cleanse your own iniquities. I'm the only one who can do that. Come to me. That's his invitation. Come to me. Do not delay your coming on the account of your own unworthiness, as if it were necessary for you to clean yourself up before you come. Nothing in the Scripture tells you to do that. The songwriter had it right. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arm. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Can you do that? Coming to him means surrendering to him. It means coming under his authority. It means coming in faith. It means recognizing that he is the only person who can satisfy your longing of your soul. All of those things that's down inside of you, the sin you see there that causes you great, great discomfort of life, and it should. Guilt is a great cause of depression, by the way. Guilt. Guilt, as I have some of you heard me use the illustration, like a dashboard on your car. You're driving down the road and a light comes on your dashboard. You can do one or two things. You can stop, find out what's wrong, or you can keep driving and probably blow your engine up, right? When guilt's the red light in your soul, says something's wrong. You can stop, you can deal with it, or you can ignore it and destroy yourself. It's a gift of God. Jesus says, I've got the solution to that. Come to me. What about all those discouragements that you have? Things that happen you don't understand. You get discouraged. Lord, why are you doing this? He says, come to me. I'll give you rest from those things. He's going to tell us how in a minute. You get depressed, anxious. Why? God's doing something in your life. But He says, come to me. This is not a one-time act, folks. You come to Him for salvation, but you just keep on coming and coming and coming and coming. Every day, all the time, you come to Christ. Every day. We Baptists have, over the past years, had this thing of rededicating your life. And we get people walking down the aisle, and you have some people that just all did it regularly, you know. When should you rededicate your life as a child of God? Every day of your life. When you got up this morning, you should have dedicated yourself to the Lord for this day. Right? You should have surrendered to Him for this day. Every day is a day of dedication. Every day. What would Philadelphia Baptist Church look like if everybody in this congregation did that every day? Be different, wouldn't it? Totally different. He says, come. Renouncing yourself, renouncing your abilities, renouncing anything that you think is within you that would recommend you to God, because you're nothing but a sinner. As Isaiah says, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, there's no soundness in you by nature. Bad picture, isn't it? He goes on in that passage and pictures how a sinner looks in the sight of God. He says he's like all of a leper with all the putrefied sores. It's pussy and running. And you wrap that body up and you take that off and has all of that corruption in it and a pile of rags over here. He says that's what your righteousness looks like in the sight of God. That's what you look like. Jesus says, come and I'll cleanse you. I'll give you rest. I'll forgive those sins. I'll wipe those sins out. I'll cover them in my blood. I'll make you pure in the sight of God. I'll give you standing before Him. I'll justify you. I'll give you hope. I'll give you assurance. I'll give you everything you need to sustain you in this life. Notice what He says again. He says, come. But where are we to come? To Him. Not to a denomination, even though that may be important. Not to a church, that may be important. Not to a preacher, that may be important. Come to me. I'm the only one who has the solution. I'm the only one who has the authority. I'm the only one who has the ability to give you rest. It's me and me alone, nobody else. Come to me. All ye who are burdened and heavy laden. What's your burden? He's the answer. What's bringing you down? He's the answer. What is it you need in life to let you do what God wants you to do for as long as He wants you to do it? It's Him. He's the one who supplies. He's the one who gives. He said to His disciples when He was leaving in John chapter 14, I'll send you another comforter. The Holy Spirit is a gift of Christ. He sends to comfort us. So whatever it is you need, whether it's comfort, He gives it. He's the one who provides it. He's the great physician who heals. He's the great Savior who wipes our sin out. He's the great sovereign who can fulfill every promise. He's the one who's coming again for us. He says, come to me. Come to me. Don't trust in anything else. Come to me. And I'll give you rest. Remember, He's talking to these people who are religious, legalistic. Another place He says, you put more burdens on the people than you carry, but you won't lift a finger to carry them yourself. I can relieve them. I can take them away. I can carry your burden. I can take it from you. That's His promise to us. Is that worth listening to for you? You look to Christ as the only source of your help. You believe He can and will grant you request. You place yourself in the hands to do as He wills. You cast yourself upon Him in faith and trust and commitment. That's what it means to come to Christ. Let me give you an illustration of this. In Matthew chapter 8, in the first four verses, you have a leper. And you can almost see this picture in your mind. Leprosy had to stand way off from the people. And when anybody came near, he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" And here comes this leper, and there's a huge crowd of people around the Lord Jesus Christ. And here comes this leper, and he comes to Christ, and you can almost see the crowd go, whew, just open up and let him through. Because they don't want to touch him. And he comes, and he says, "Lord, you can make me clean if you will. If you will." You see, he didn't come making demands on the Lord Jesus Christ. He came recognizing that he must submit to, honor, bow before, and become a servant of the one whom he's in the presence of. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He recognized his need. He came to the right place. He asked the right question, and he found his healing. You know what Jesus said to him? "I will be thou clean." That quick. See that? That's how you come. You come in absolute surrender. You come in absolute faith. You come recognizing the only place you're going to find a cure is in Him. And you come with absolute confidence that if I come submitted to Him, I'm going to find healing for my soul. I'm going to be relieved from all these burdens. "Take my yoke upon you" is the next thing I want you to see. Not only do you come, not only do you receive, but you come and take His yoke upon you. Look what He says. "And learn from me." Now what it says? Go to school to me. Come under my authority. Come under my teaching as it's expressed in the Word. Let me teach you. Let me teach you how you accomplish this rest. I hear people complain because we have too much teaching at Philadelphia Baptist Church. Folks, you can't have too much teaching about Christ. That's impossible. You know why? The more I know about Him, the more I love Him, the more I'll serve Him, the more I'll do for Him, the more I'll witness, the more I'll do everything that He requires of me. But it takes knowledge. Oh, as the prophet said, "My people perish for lack of what? Knowledge." Knowledge. Knowledge of who? Knowledge of Him. Learn from me. Learn about me. Take my yoke upon you and learn what I teach you. Learn what I've left for you to understand and to study, and that's the Word of God. It all proclaims Christ. If I ask you what this book proclaimed, what would you say? Give me one word. Christ. We call it Christocentric, which means Christ-centered. Everything in it points to Christ. If you miss that, you miss the whole message of this book. And it tells you two things. It tells you how bad you are by nature, and it tells you what a glorious person He is that He invites you to come to Him. That's the two messages. It's all about Him and what He does for a sinner like me. You know Him? Are you surrendered to Him? Are you going to school to Him? Now, He uses human beings to do this, but He does it. He uses pastors. He uses teachers to teach people about Him. That's our function. That's our job. And as our mind is saturated with Him, guess what happens to our faith? Our faith grows in the same proportion as our knowledge of Him. The more you know, the more faith you have. Because you know Him. You can trust Him. You can worship Him. You can go to school to Him. You know He's telling you the truth. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And I will give you... He says this twice. Notice how it says. He says in verse 28, I will give you rest. And then the latter part of verse 29, and you will find rest for your souls. Twice. What's rest for your souls? I'll give you relief. I'll give you assurance. I'll give you that which you need to sustain you in life, in all circumstances of life. It'll all be in me. You know, when the early church met together, don't get mad at me. When the early church met together, they talked about Jesus. That was the subject all the time. And they prepared their hearts before they ever got to meet together to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed. And when they went to the church and corporately met together, they expected the presence of the Lord to be present with them in an unusual way. And most of the time it was. Most of the time it was. And that's the reason our testimony of the Scripture says that the people look at that and say, oh, look how they love the Lord. What a testimony. That's what wins people to Christ, by the way. You can use verbs or verbalize your testimony, but unless that thing is saturated in love, it's not going to have much of an effect on a lost sinner. But if that person can see that testimony of Christ coming out in you in love, it has an effect. A couple of weeks, we're going to look at George Whitefield in our biographical study. George Whitefield couldn't get through a message without weeping. When he preached to thousands of people at a time, he wept. Several years ago, I had the privilege of sitting on the front row real close to Dr. W.A. Criswell preaching a sermon to a group of pastors. And he preached on the death of Christ. And I was sitting close to this to where he was speaking. And the entire sermon, tears were streaming down his cheeks. You knew what he was saying, he believed. Someone asked one of the great politicians who used to go listen to George Whitefield, why do you go listen to him? You don't believe what he says. You know what he said? This was mentioned in Franklin, by the way. He said, no, but he believes it. He believes it. When you witness about Christ and you tell people in Him is life, in Him is forgiveness, in Him is satisfaction, in Him is rest, does it come across that you believe it? That's what makes the difference, isn't it? Come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll find rest for your soul. And it's not hard, he says, it's not hard, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a privilege, what a blessing it is to sit at his feet and learn about his love and grace and mercy and apply it to my life. Let me ask you, have you come? Have you come to Christ surrendered, submitted, fully conscious of who he is and who you are? And that your only hope is in Him. And you come surrendered. David Brainerd, the great missionary to the American Indians, when he was 17 years old, he struggled. You heard about him here not long ago. He struggled with how to come to Christ. And he said one day, he said, it dawned on me that when a mother calls her child to come to her, He says, some come running. Some come skipping. Some come laughing. Some even come weeping. But they come. It doesn't make any difference how you get there. Just come. Just come and surrender to Him. Can you sing that song? I will arise, go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. More than you could ever express. More than you'll ever see. It's in Christ and Christ alone. Father, make this real to us this morning. Not just words on a page and not just words that I've said, but make the message real by Your Holy Spirit. Let them see, let them understand, let them surrender and find Your rest. In Jesus' name, amen.